said.
Don't believe what I just saw!
I'm a man! I'm 40!
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral. Okay.
All right, guys, you're not going to believe it. We are back. This is Sportsaholics number 77. And guess what? I know you've been asking for. There it is. That by phone. By phone.
The Ray Bourque episode.
The number 77, the Ray Bourque episode. And that, look, I don't know shit about hockey. I mean, I bought maybe five packs of hockey cards growing up. But I know Ray Bourque got a Stanley Cup in Denver with the Avalanche, and I know that Boston was so cool that they put out a billboard in Boston to congratulate him. Now, is that right? Did I get the city switched, or is that a
true? They actually threw a parade and honored Ray Bourque for winning that, which is Phil Simmons, the sports guy, formerly of ESPN, went on great length to say that that was like the darkest, most pathetic hour in Boston sports history, where it's like that we actually were throwing parades because someone else had won. We were just so happy that, you know, at that point, Ray Bourque was beloved, and we actually traded him away with the hopes that he would go on to win the Stanley Cup, which is a very rare situation.
Now, hold that thought, because I'm going to check this out, because I'm going to see, like, was that following the Red Sox?
Following the Red Sox, what do you mean? It was in the mid-90s. The Avalanche win in the mid-90s.
96. It was 96. So, God, was it that long ago? Oh, man. I cannot. Yeah. Okay, so 20 years ago, which, God, I can't believe I'm that guy now that's like, wow, that was 20 years ago. And when you're 18, you 18-year-olds out there, trust me, it's coming. It's coming. 20 years ago, statements are coming. So, they put up, you know, the billboard, and Ray Bourque then retires, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Or shortly thereafter. But
Right.
Well, the point I guess I was trying to make is that you guys hadn't had no World Series yet, no Patriots yet. You won in 90.
The last thing that had happened was the Celtics in 86. 86 was the big the Patriots went to the Super Bowl but lost. The Celtics won the NBA championship with the last Bird championship. And then the Red Sox, of course, famously lost to the Mets in 86. And then we went through a huge drought through the 90s. And then that was broken by the Brady Bunch. The Brady Bunch, post 9/11 Patriots.
Well, it's nice
and winning against the Rams.
It just shows, you know, Boston is a great sports city, and it just seems like, I mean, it just happened recently in 08 amongst, you know, you guys got a new cup, you guys got the cup back, you got the championship trophy back in the NBA, and obviously the Super Bowl, and then obviously the World Series. So it's like the Boston as a city, your trophy case is stacked ever since, you know, that Ray Bourque parade. So it's like, you know, you give good karma into the sports world, you'll get it back eventually.
It could be that. I would say the 21st century has been fairly great to Boston fans. Me personally, also having gone to Syracuse University, I also snagged a national title in 2003.
Yep, over my Kansas Jayhawks.
There are a lot of things in the Marino Trophy. And by the way, I should mention that, you know, Robert Kraft, owner of the Patriots, just gave out the Super Bowl rings to the Patriots at a big function at his home. And there's some great pictures out there with Brady. I have two thoughts for you, Sheez. One is Brady was wearing all four rings. He's wearing all four rings. And
now are you counting Giselle as a ring?
No, I'm not. He has four Super Bowl rings.
So five rings total.
And then he has his wedding ring on. So remember, that's exactly the point, Sheez. The fifth ring, he's got four Super Bowl rings and a I'm Married to Giselle Bundchen ring, which is maybe the most impressive ring in his collection.
Yeah, and the most that's underrated. The most underrated. And yeah, you might stack up that picture of Bill Walton with his 10, or not Bill Walton, but Bill Russell with his 10.
Bill Russell.
You know, but it's
11.
Like, yeah, but is one of those a get, you know, Some Giselle loving.
No, one of them was his player coach, and he was the first black coach in NBA history. I mean, he also broke the coaching color barrier.
Do you know who the first? Do you know who the first African American coach in baseball history was in Major League Baseball?
Wasn't it Frank Robinson?
No, it was Buck O'Neill for the Chicago Cubs in the early 60s.
Oh, well, of course it was. Of course it was.
Brought him over. But anyway, well, you're on topic. It's been a while, so let's get your Patriots shit out of the way. Four games too many?
This is important. Bill Belichick was there at the ring ceremony. He was wearing all six of his rings. He's wearing the four Patriots Super Bowl rings and his two New York Giant rings from when he was defensive coordinator and beat the Bills. Now, what I was going to say to you is it's interesting because, as you know, in some ways, as I'm thinking about it, you know, the Giants have four Super Bowl wins, and in a way, Bill Belichick is actually responsible for all of the Giants' four Super Bowl wins because he won two, and then the Giants beat his Patriots for two. So in a weird sense, Bill Belichick's responsible for eight rings.
You know what he should have done? He should have taken all six of the ones he had and just put three on his left middle finger and three on his right middle finger and just held that shit right up to the camera. Yeah, I got six. That's the only way you can flip off everyone without actually even raising your middle fingers, just by putting on six championship rings.
Yeah. So, I think Brady gave a big deflate this.
So what's the deal? Four games is too much. I mean, I think he's just trying to save face because they screwed up with the Adrian Peterson thing. I mean, you can argue if they did or not, or, you know, that's still a whole mess. The Ray Rice thing, obviously, he's blacklisted now at this point, arguably. I mean, he probably would have been on his way out anyway, but I think this four games is more of a testament to their previous penalties and the lack thereof, and so now they're kind of come back. And, you know, this is, to turn it into a racial thing, which everyone loves to do, this is the figurehead, big, you know, good-looking white guy, so his punishment should fit the crime. We just never have experienced any sort of crime like this before.
But the crime by the rule book is like a $25,000 fine and no suspension. The suspension is really it's coming out of nowhere, and to the point where I sort of expect him to get two games. Like, I think he's going to have the first two games off. That's what I think is going to happen. You know, and that's a lot of people. That's the buzz around it. But I honestly feel, at worst, he should get like that Johnny Manziel, I'm going to sit him for the first half kind of bullshit. And then, because it's, you know, that you're trying to get a guy on, you can't prove it, so we're going to suspend him anyway. It's a real weak, as Roger Goodell keeps going down and just making up rules as he goes along. It's a real tough time, I think, for the NFL as looking like they have their shit together.
Well, with all this new FIFA Sepp Blatter stuff coming to light, which he resigns, right, steps down, but that doesn't come into effect until January, technically. So he's still running things for the next 8 months. But as all of this crazy, you know, and I'm not saying that there's money being, you know, funneled, but I mean, this is billions and billions of dollars. Roger Goodell makes like $30 million a year. So, I mean, he's doing the same stuff, but legally, you know, very politically, like you would do in the government.
Sure.
So I think the more spotlight internationally comes down, you know, bad news, you know, for his counterpart in FIFA, I think, you know, the more that's hurting your case. Because, I mean, yeah, you guys got fined $1 million, and Belichick got fined, I think, what, personally, like $250,000 or something like that, whatever it was.
No, that was Belichick was fined during Spygate. Belichick was exonerated of all Deflategate. And I'm upset with the Patriots that they took I think the first round penalty was ridiculous. Losing a first round draft pick was really crazy.
Look, first round draft picks don't mean anything. You guys make a living in the second, third, and fourth rounds.
I understand that, but you know that actually. I mean, I like to think, as the Patriots tend to win Super Bowls, that we start the second round. I like to think about it. Our first round draft
exactly.
Pick is really,
I mean,
you just
proved my point, because you guys have had the 32nd pick what, six times, you know, or however many, you know, over the years.
Yeah. So it's four times, and then
two
times you had like the 31st, yeah.
And then you guys got the Raiders five first round picks that one time for some reason. That's ridiculous. I can't. But okay, so four games too many. What is the no games? Is that the penalty?
I think it's gonna be two games. I think in the end it's two games. And as a Patriots fan, most Patriots fans are sitting there and consoling themselves, saying, "Hey, we'll have Tom Brady. Tom Brady will not take 2 weeks a hit. He can't get injured in those games. So it's two games out with a non-injured Tom Brady." And you know, look, a lot of Patriots fans, especially after the whole Gronkowski era. It's like we want people healthy in November, December, in the playoffs. It's like that's what we want. It's like
that's what matters. That's what counts. That's when this is all 16 games of preseason for a Patriots fan until the real season starts.
Well, not exactly that, but I think there's like, you know, if like compare it to the Redskins RG3 situation where they were so blind 2 years ago that they just were like, you know, they were like, hey, RG3 is going to be ready for opening day. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to be ready for the home opener. And you're just like, but he wasn't.
Yeah, which was always confusing. Well, I mean, he was the face of the league at the time, but you're just sitting there looking at Kirk Cousins like, yeah, this guy is pretty awesome. And whether they're – and that was – the backup is what I was going to get to with the Patriots. What this does now, and I know – I forget who – Matt
Jimmy
Flynn.
Jimmy Garoppolo. They also just signed Matt Flynn to get depth.
Mr. Five Touchdowns guy. This guy –
A lot of Patriot fans want to see Jimmy Garoppolo do two games. You know, they were saying, like, if we get Jimmy Garoppolo two games of experience, you know, and the Patriots are always about depth. And they're, you know, it's like, let's be honest. We all know that even though Peyton Manning's still chugging along at 39, I mean, you know, we all see the end of the Tom Brady road, if not, you know, I mean, maybe he plays three or four more years, but it's going to come to an end.
Well, I mean, the Broncos are covering, you know, they've got Osweiler, the 6'9" giant from Montana that went to Arizona State as his backup, you know, grooming him. But I think also you're looking at it like this, you know, hey, you know, maybe it's Flynn or maybe, you know, whatever the other, you know, dude's guy's name was. But, you know, that's potential trade bait, I guess. I'm not sure if they're free agents, but I'm not concerned about their
– Every franchise who's successful is looking to make that Brett Favre-Aaron Rodgers transition, that Joe Montana to Steve Young transition. How do you keep momentum? How do you keep winning and change without missing a beat? How can you change the quarterback, a central key to your offense, and not – you know, how does that not hurt you in the win-loss column?
See, I still think the Patriots, though, aren't ready for that trend. I think they're still planning on another 2 to 3 years of Tom Brady. Easily.
I would say so. I mean, that's how it feels. And then, hey, if he ends up taking a whole month off, you know, in some ways, like, isn't that four more games in the Tom Brady tank that we get?
No, and the game is constantly evolving and philosophies and change and look, why not sit out when Tom Brady hits 42, 43? Look, I think he said himself he could play till he's 50, you know. And
well, how about we just start? I mean, we should just start sealing him in Tupperware and putting him in a chilled room every night when he sleeps. How about we just, you know, we put him in hyperbaric chambers or just freeze him in stasis for 6 months until it's, you know, after every Super Bowl, we immediately freeze Tom Brady and then bring him out for OCA.
Just do whatever Lance Armstrong did, but the legal stuff, you know. I mean, if we can get it, I don't know how old Tom Brady's kids are, but if we can get it to where his son is backing him up 1 year, that's all I want. I want like a, I want a Ken Griffey Jr. moment, you know, with the Patriots.
Exactly. That would be tremendous.
Look, and I mean, look, Wes Welker did it. I mean, they can just plug in that slot white guy, and why can't that be Tom Brady's kid?
Yeah, I mean, it's like we're back. You know, it's like we won without Wes Welker. Wes Welker's back in the free agent market. It's crazy. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, it's, you know, hard times there, though, in Boston these days. You know, the Bruins, you know, obviously not in the finals. Looks like the Blackhawks are getting ready to take that. Hopefully I'm rooting for them. Nothing against Tampa Bay, but, you know, you guys got yours back in 2003 or whatever it was. Celtics, yeah, you know, Celtics are worse than ever. And the Red Sox are currently in last place. Any thoughts on any of that?
It's very relaxed because, of course, we do have the Brady Super Bowl. We won with the Red Sox in 13, the Bruins in 11, the Celtics in 08. You know, we have to, as a Celtics fan, you're not expecting much. This is almost like you put your feelings in hibernation because, you know, like, clearly Rajon Rondo wasn't the answer, and now we're trying to build something, you know, with our little wunderkind coach, Brad Stevens.
And look, Rajon Rondo, like, first time ever, like, in Dallas, the coach just came out and was like, yeah, he faked an injury, and they were like, yeah, he's done for the season. Like, that's how disgruntled he was. They just like, yeah, he's done. He's done playing. I mean,
pretty sure he's gonna be a Laker. Sure he's gonna be a Laker. I smell Rondo as Laker coming all day long.
I see, like,
and that's something.
I could see Harden. Like, I mean, I know James Harden's under contract, but like Brandon Jennings, James Harden, like, you know, these LA guys. You know, even if it's Paul Pierce in late years, I'll take some 8 minutes a game from Paul Pierce in a Lakers jersey. That gives me enough reason to go down there and watch that shit. Plus, they got.
I don't think Pierce is coming, but I think Kevin Love. I think Rondo comes. I think you get one more year of Kobe. I think Kevin Love comes in 2 years, but probably when the, you know, everyone's expecting Love to jump ship. And right now, as we're recording this, it is before Game 6 of the Cavs Warriors. You know, which I think is a great.
Yeah, I didn't even really want to get into it because it's like anything we record now is just going to be, you know, non-void.
Right. I was really going to think that a certain person we know, Willie Hunter, is living in the world that if LeBron wins in Cleveland, then in a year he's going to come to LA and finish his career as a Los Angeles Laker, and I don't believe in that.
Yeah, that just seems weird, especially from someone from Alabama. You know.
Well, he's the biggest bandwagon rider he is. He grew up with no special sports teams.
Right.
And he just
started
picking bandwagon to bandwagon.
Oh, by the way, listeners, I want to thank the some 1,400 new listeners that we had our first week back on Stitcher. If you're listening on Stitcher, thank you. If you're listening on iTunes, thank you. Please subscribe, leave a comment. The more of that happens, the more you like it, 5 stars for whatever you feel. 0 stars if you hate it, that's fine. Just leave a comment, even if you're like, hey, you guys, fuck off. I hate the show. Whatever you want to leave, but the more you do that, the higher we, you know, end up in search results and the more listeners we have. But to you, 1,400, awesome. And for whatever reason, Eric, I don't know why, we have a ton of listeners in Virginia. Almost three times the amount of listeners are in Virginia than any other state in the country.
I think the people who are listening to us are the NSA. I think that's what's happening.
It's got to be.
Listened to by the...
I'm like, what is up with all this Virginia? So NSA, you're wasting your time if you are listening. But
CIA, NSA,
but FBI. But thank you for the hundreds of hits because they are piling up over there. And then for you guys, you service members in Germany, we've also gotten a lot of hits over there. I'm assuming, or maybe it's NSA again, but in the German. But if you're in Germany, thank you for listening. If you're defending the world, thank you for your service, putting your life in harm's way. Thank you for that.
If you're listening from Al Qaeda or ISIS, cut that shit out. Just stop it. All right, stop it. You're ruining everything. Stop it.
It's a bad trend. It's like stonewashed jeans. No one. You don't look good. Everyone hates you. Cease murdering and pillaging. I mean, can you at least just save the historic stuff? Do you need to blow that up? It's been there for 10,000 years. Just leave it alone. I mean, if your great-grandfather didn't blow it up 80 years ago when he revolted, just, you know, he didn't blow it up. You don't have to. You know, just let it be.
Now, also, to all our new listeners, they can email us, at sportsaholics@gmail. That's sportsaholics with an X, you know.
Well, I was going to say, also, you're on Twitter now. Where can the listener follow you?
Find me at othatmarino on the Twitter.
And
the Show Up, Go Up show, that's the Sunday night show we do at the Comedy Store, 11 to 1, which also can be viewed on Periscope, Sunday nights, 11 to 1 a.m.
That's awesome. We'll tweet that out. You can listen to the show or find the show on Twitter at Sportsaholics, and again on Stitcher and iTunes podcast. So subscribe on those. Add us to your comedy channel, sports channel. Whatever channel you listen to while you're driving across the country, sitting at office, doing nothing, or running on a treadmill, whatever it is. That's where you, bad time.
And by the way, if you're listening to us doing any of those things, we believe in you and keep going.
Absolutely.
Unless you're my ex-boyfriend's 53-year-old current boyfriend, in which I wish nothing well for you, and I want you to stop everything you do, including living with my ex-girlfriend. So.
With that being said, thank you to OneLovely.com for sponsoring the show.
That's lovely.
It is. It literally is lovely. That's a lovely, lovely skateboard company. They make clothes, skateboard decks. Pardon me. All sorts of different stuff like that. You can go to OneLovely.com. They got all sorts of different shirts, a bunch of Kansas City stuff, a bunch of everything stuff. So check that out. Right now, actually, I've been fascinated, Eric, with minor league baseball recently. So starting this week, I'm going to do like a brief segment just featuring a different league, because there are, I believe, 12 minor leagues if you go from low A to high A all the way up to triple A in minor league baseball. So this week, we're just going to start at the top, the PCL, the Pacific Coast League. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, drop that knowledge on you. And, you know, find out some interesting facts. And, you know, if you're listening in the area where there is a Pacific Coast League team, just go to the games. They're fun. And you're seeing prospects. You're seeing guys that are rehabbing injuries or that are on their way up to the big league. So check that out. But we'll be back right after the break.
Baby, Dave Seth.
This is the home territory of the Pacific Coast League. From Seattle to San Diego, more than 1,700 miles apart, our splendid teams play, taking in Portland, Sacramento, Oakland, San Francisco, with Hollywood and Los Angeles in between. In the top leagues of the East, the American and National, the longest distance is some 900 miles between Boston and Chicago. But our great league of the West regards such spaces as but normal. And to reach the 18 million people in our territory, long jumps from city to city are commonplace. Like the Pacific Ocean, we too stretch along and connect the cities of the entire coast. For 43 years, the Pacific Coast League has been flourishing in this
territory. The Pacific Coast League, the PCL, was the league on the West Coast. You had teams, you know, the short list of the old, and this is just, you know, the Wikipedia blast real quick. You know, we had a team in Portland forever, the Portland Beavers, you know, from 1903 on and off until, you know, the early 90s. You've got Oakland Oaks up into the 50s, you know, the Hollywood Stars, which originally were the San Diego Padres, even earlier than that, were the Missions, San Diego Missions. And then the Padres, when they got expansion in 68, the owner you know, sold the rights, I think, to the Phillies or whatever, moved the team up to like Oregon, my AAA team, you know. Then obviously the Padres start, but really, you know, in the Hollywood Stars in the 30s, you know, that's all the stars would go to the games. There was no other baseball until the Dodgers moved there in the 50s. More or less by the end of the 1958, you know, the league was just kind of floundering. You know, and recently, you know, they've expanded, and you know, they've got some new teams, like, you know, Memphis, Colorado call it the Sky Sox. I saw a game there earlier this season. Great stadium if you want to go see some good minor league. The stadium's kind of weird. It felt more like a high school stadium. But I had a good time at the game. Of course, you got the iCubs up there in Des Moines, the Oklahoma City Dodgers, which, you know, they, I think they were the Red Hawks, but, you know, they changed their name. I actually saw them Reno Aces game, which is, you know, in the Western Division, I believe, or the Pacific Division, you know, a team in Fresno, Reno, you know, Sacramento, Tacoma, Albuquerque, El Paso, Vegas, Salt Lake. And then in the American Conference, you got Memphis, Nashville, New Orleans, Omaha, who won last year. So Royals minor league team, Oklahoma City, Iowa, and of course, Colorado Springs. But it's a good league, competitive league. You know, it's been around for over 100 years, full of history. You know, some of the greats played in that league. You know, there's stories of the San Francisco team, what was it, the Seals, that they would play year-round, like 200 games a year. You know, and then the other teams would play upwards of 150 to 170. So, you know, the league is just has a history of the love of the game and just wanting to play. And, you know, and it got to a point where it wasn't necessarily about making the major leagues. It was like building, let's build this league up as a legit competitor. And they did, and eventually, you know, lost a few of their teams to the big leagues, but still around today. So if you get a chance, go check out, you know, any number of those cities that I listed earlier, and, you know, go see a game and go see a future major league star, or go see a guy that might be on his last leg and ready to quit tomorrow. Either way, you're having a good time, and it's cheap. It's like $10 to get in. Hot dogs are $4, $3. It's not like the big league prices, so enjoy that.
An inside picture of our Pacific Coast League. We are now in our most important season, for this is the year in which we have declared our intention to become a major league. And this is the year in which we shall seriously go about proving our point. In this great Pacific area where we play, we have approximately 15 million people, more than enough to bring our league up to the peak in baseball. You will no doubt be familiar with many of the names and faces of the players in this film of our spring training. For those who have not achieved great fame, they're on the verge of it. The 1946 season is here, and our clubs are giving you the best in baseball. Let's get a good
Pacific Coast League. Eric, I know you love baseball. Did you, the Hollywood stars, all the legends that, you know, that played there before the Dodgers came to town, before Major League, you know, that was, you know, not equivalent, but, you know, it was a very predominant league, you know, up in Portland, and, you know, so there you have it. So if you're not obsessed with baseball, now, you know what, sorry, if you are, you know, hopefully you learned something there, and hopefully go support minor league or independent league baseball wherever you are. If you're at the, you know, if you want to go out and maybe you go out to the summer leagues in Massachusetts.
Have you ever? Lowell, Massachusetts, the Lowell Spinners. Go check out the Red Sox affiliate Lowell Spinners, or in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, the Pawtucket Red Sox, or the Portland Sea Dogs, their Double A team. See the stars of tomorrow today.
Exactly. And what's the league out there? What's the summer league? The world famous summer league?
Oh, the Cape Cod League. That's where college kids learn how to hit with wooden bats, because, you know, all colleges hit with aluminum bats. If you watch that College World Series, you'll have noticed the ping of an aluminum bat versus a wooden bat. And it's sort of in some ways you could say a a disappearing art of the wooden bat. I mean, it's still part of the major league, but that's so not part of our, you know, you and my childhood. The Little League experience involved aluminum bats, high school, college, all involved aluminum bats. So you actually don't hit with a wooden bat unless you play in a couple leagues like the Cape Cod League.
Well, the other thing the Cape Cod League does, you know, at least according to Hollywood, is it teaches baseball players to have probably unprotected sex with their coaches' daughters.
Yeah, or their house mothers, because they also get put up, like, they actually sort of, like, you know, they're college students, and they basically get put up by host families, and there are lots of stories of hijinks.
Ensuing.
You know.
Well, maybe that's...
Also, by the way, I would like to, since we're on baseball, I wanted to say that, you know, recently there's been an opening, the San Diego Padres, right in your neck of the woods, where you're recording this right now, Caesar, have fired their manager, Bud Black.
Unfortunately.
So I just...
Ex-Royal.
I just want to put it out there that I am available to manage the San Diego Padres.
Well, I mean...
Aaron Moreno is throwing... I'm throwing my hat... I'm throwing my cap on the field. I'm available. I'd like to say for the record, my resume, I've rooted 3 Red Sox World Champions to championships. So, there's that going for me. And I'm not saying there aren't more people qualified, but a lot of heart. A lot of heart, San Diego. So think about me,
well,
Marino for manager.
I would, okay, look, that makes more sense than the Marlins, who hired Dan Jennings, who was their general manager, to replace whatever they fired. What was it? Oh, Mike Redmond, that's right. Which, okay, they hire their general manager. This guy gets thrown out of a game in the 8th inning, arguing balls and strikes with a 5-run lead like 2 weeks ago.
You're going to want it.
I mean, are you kidding? I'm like, it was so, like, script. I mean, the umpire's laughing at him. He's just like, dude, what are you doing? You're winning by 5 runs, and you want me to throw you out of the game? Okay. I mean, it was just so transparent. It looks so fake and scripted. All the players must have just been like, what a dumbass. Like, who is this guy? The guy that signed my contracts coaching us now? The guy that didn't want to give me an extra $78,000 in that boat down in Sarasota?
Yeah. He knows all our contracts, so he knows when not to put us in and how not to get our
appearances. And there's something too, that there's a lot of hidden there's a lot of clauses now in contracts. Right. A perfect example. So right now the Royals lead 8 out of 9 position players. Hashtag vote Omar. Hashtag vote Nori, which is National League, but the Royals fans out there, we're getting Nori Aoki in, even though he deserves to be in anyway, but he's definitely starting because of Royals fans. So the Royals, 8 out of 9. So right now, Altuve, who is amazing, is trailing. I can't even think. How am I not? Omar Infante, yeah. Hashtag vote Omar. But there's a clause in his contract that if he gets an all-star, if he makes the all-star team, then he gets a $500,000 bonus, or $250,000 bonus, sure, every season he's with the team, which is 2 more. So with the Royals voting him in, the fans, then he's going to actually, the Royals are going to end up paying him an extra $500,000 because of this publicity. Hashtag vote Nori. Hashtag start 9 Royals. Hashtag start Omar.
I'm really glad you brought that up, because I wanted to talk to you, Rashid, about this this Royals explosion in the All-Star voting. I've seen tell of this, that somehow the Royals fans have taken advantage of online voting, it seems, with a purpose.
Well, you can vote 35 times in one email sitting, and so you have to type in a code every time, so it takes like 5 minutes. How many times have you voted for the All-Star game this year?
I haven't voted at all.
Okay. See, that's the problem, because I've voted, at this point, I would guess about 200 times. Using 3 different email addresses and just waiting a couple days. I think you can vote. It might be every 24 hours. I'm not sure, but... And so it's not just me, it's everyone. It's my brother in Cincinnati, it's my mom in Kansas City, my dad, you know, my friends, you know, a lot of people are doing it. And so now, as these national, writers come out and start, you know, pretty much drumming up negative attention towards Royals fans and the voting and just how ridiculous it is and all this stuff. Like, it just instigates more voting from the Royals fans. And so what's going to happen is I think some of these leads are, you know, they're too big. I mean, unless you have, like, everybody, like, millions of fans, which stepping up and voting, like, in some national campaign, which ultimately baseball wins. It's just drawing more attention to a meaningless all-star exhibition game. I mean, it means home field advantage in the World Series, sure. And there's a lot of arguments there. Like, is that fair? You know, that the Royals are starting 8 out of 9 for the American League. It's like, for me, yeah, because I'm hoping the Royals are in the World Series. So I've got full... Look, their defense is incredible. Put them out there for 2 innings and then, you know, put everyone else in, you know, accordingly. I'm fine with that. And there was a point that I heard recently where, you know, so now you got Miguel Cabrera coming in the third and you've got, you know, Josh Donaldson coming in the third inning, you know, so you got really these big, powerful bats coming in facing the National League second, third line pitchers. So, which I mean,
well, they're still all stars.
Yeah, it's like, what is that? Like, so you got Grinky then in the third or fourth, you know, it's like, you know, so that's one philosophy behind it. But, you know, like I said, hashtag vote Omar, hashtag start 9 Royals.
And if Grinky's pitching against you, that's even sort of more Royals, isn't it?
Yeah, technically more. But what's fascinating to me is that, there actually has been campaign, you know, in Kansas City to actually get Nori Aoki, who left and is in San Francisco. So actually he's on the team that won the World Series. But that's, you know, you want to talk about good baseball fans. That's how much the city loved this guy. And that's a very Ray Bourque-esque type thing. It's like, we didn't throw this guy a parade, but we're giving him, you know.
I think in some ways that's a bigger thing. I mean, that's being a bigger man. Or a bigger fan, if you will, because it's like, hey, we, you know, it's like if Ray Bourque had gone to the Yankees, if Ray Bourque had gone to the team that had just beaten us in the Stanley Cup, I don't think we would have been so affable. You know, I think that's a nice thing to wish someone well when they went to the people that just beat you. And, you know, and I'd like to say again that I thought those Royals, he should have run around, he should have charged home. That's all I'm going to say.
Yep, and you know what, it's. Here's, don't forget, Royals fans or baseball fans, that was to tie the game. It's not like that's not a game-winning walk-off hit. That's to tie, which, you know, is extra innings. Anything can happen. I think he did the right thing. But, again, that'll be a debate had from here on until everyone's dead that actually saw the game in person or on TV. So all I can say to you is go out and vote. Vote for your Red Sox. Vote for some Royals. I mean, look, at the end of the day, they're Mike Moustakas is deserving. You know, Kendry Morales, you know, he's got, 14, 15 home runs, is 40-something RBIs. He's deserving. Hosmer's deserving. Maybe not to start, but, I mean, Alex Gordon deserves to start. Platinum Glove, you know, best defensive player in baseball. Lorenzo Cain deserves to start. You know, Alex Rios does not deserve to start, but he's lead. You know, he could possibly, that's the ninth guy. And if he sneaks in, he's got like 1 home run, 8 RBIs. He's been injured the whole season. So that's kind of where people are really trying to draw the line. They're like, this guy barely even qualifies for the game. There's no way he should be playing. But, you know, like I said, hashtag start 9 Royals, hashtag vote Nori, hashtag vote Omar. You know, you go out there and vote. MLV. /vote.com, I believe, is where you can find that. And you can vote for your favorite player. You can do it 35 times. You got until July 2nd. And ultimately, baseball wins. It just draws more attention to the sport. And for me, personally, I'm excited for my brother and his wife in Cincinnati. Hopefully, they can get tickets to the game and go, you know, watch a Royals home game.
Well, you know, really, because also it's like, you know, it's interesting because, you know, all season long, I thought you guys are, I keep calling the Royals the scrappy Royals. For the way you guys keep getting in brawls and bean balls and bench clearing incidences, but it also seems that your fan base are scrappy as well and not afraid to take on the voting problems of or exploit the voting problems of the
All-Star ballot. It's not a problem.
It's scrappy rolling.
It's not a problem. Everyone else can vote. It's just they're just voting. They're not really exploiting anything. They're voting. You know,
it's what we're supposed to do.
You know, it's so. But you know, it's great for the sport. And, you know, those of you listening, just go out and vote. You know, if you don't want to see all Royals, then go vote for everyone else, you know, that's not a Royal. I don't care. But you got some catching up to do, because by the time you listen to this, I've probably voted another 200 times, motherfucker. So take that.
That is tremendous. That is tremendous. What else do we have, John? Is that it?
Yeah, I think we've covered everything I can think of or want to talk about. Any parting words from you, my friend?
I just want, you know what, I want to give a little shout out to a podcast, Clean Ed, the Ed and Clee Show. It's a podcast that was born out of my show, Up Sunday Nights at the Comedy Store, 11 to 1 in the Belly Room. So check out Clean Ed, the Ed and Clee Show, if you will, and check them on Facebook, etc. And also please check out the show Up Go Up Sunday Nights and the show Up Go Up Show on Twitter. I'm Odat Marino on Twitter. And you can check out the show Up Go Up every Sunday night, 11 to 1, on Periscope. So we're now live streaming the show.
Which is a great idea. So, look, you comedians, or if you want to do comedy, just tune into that Periscope channel and see what you're dealing with, because it's a nice, tight community, and it's a great time, and it's just like a, you know, it's like a Thunderdome of comedy. It's like anything goes. You never know, you know, what's going to happen. So that's every Sunday night. If you want to perform, get there early, what, like 8, 9 o'clock?
No, you'd be, you need to get there about 10:30. We put names in the bucket of destiny between 10:30 and 11. We draw names out of the bucket. There's lots of other ways to get on stage. You can create your own segment. There are joke challenges. Last Sunday, it was the Game of Thrones finale. We actually had one of the waitresses dressed up like the Khaleesi, one of the characters, and actually judged our joke challenge. And so the Mother of Dragons judged which comic would get 3 minutes of FaceTime. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a lot of good fun.
Yeah, so follow Eric, Odat Marino, at the Show Up Go Up. And then the Ed and Clee Show also, which I'll try to include some of those links at johnishere.com. We're working on an actual Sportsaholics page. You can find it on Podbean, but it's just kind of limited and looks like it's from 1995. So we're working on that. But again, for those of you listening on Stitcher, thank you. It's glad to be heard. And then those of you on iTunes, thank you for that as well. Any comments, reviews, shares, any of that stuff is much appreciated. And if you got any ideas, or if you know an insider, or you are an insider and you love sports, you know, hit us up. You know, might be interested in chatting with you. But thanks for listening. Stay obsessed, and yeah, we'll be in your ears next week.